There is a certain kind of quiet that settles over a house when you know exactly how to control the lifeblood running through its walls. It is a subtle shift in how you walk across the floorboards or look at the utility closet in the hallway. Most people live in their homes for years without ever truly meeting the skeleton of the building, the network of copper and steel that keeps everything warm and flowing. But the moment a pipe decides to give way, or the faint, sharp scent of rotten eggs drifts into the kitchen, that relationship changes instantly. I want to make sure that when that moment comes for you, there is no panic, only a steady hand and a clear plan. We are going to walk through the house together and find those kill switches, because knowing how to stop the flow is the absolute first step in truly owning the roof over your head. You might be thinking that a leak is something you will have time to handle, but water under pressure is a different beast entirely. When a fitting cracks, it doesn't just drip, it sprays, and it does so with a persistence that can ruin a room in minutes. The same goes for gas. These are the two things that make a modern home comfortable, but they require a specific kind of respect. I like to think of finding your shutoff points as an introduction. You are telling the house that you are the one in charge, and you are doing it while everything is calm and dry. That is the best time to learn. When your hands aren't shaking and you aren't trying to remember where you put the flashlight. I remember a Saturday morning about 10 years ago when I decided I was finally going to swap out an old utility sink in the basement. I was in a rush, feeling overconfident because I had done a dozen sinks before. I reached under the basin and turned the local valves, or so I thought. They felt stiff, so I gave them a real heave, and instead of closing, the old plastic stem snapped right off in my hand. Suddenly, I had a geyser hitting the floor joists, and I realized, with a sinking feeling in my gut, that I hadn't actually checked where the main water shutoff was when I moved in. I spent 5 frantic minutes slipping on wet concrete, tossing boxes aside in the dark corner of the garage, searching for a handle I had never seen. By the time I found it and twisted the lever, I had 3 inches of water and a very expensive lesson in preparation. I tell you that because I never want you to feel that frantic scramble. We start with the main water valve because that is the master key to the whole system. Usually, you are going to find this where the water first enters your home. If you have a basement or a crawl space, look toward the wall that faces the street. You are searching for a pipe that looks a bit heavier than the rest, often coming straight through the concrete. There will be a valve there, and it usually takes one of 2 shapes. The first is a gate valve, which looks like a small round steering wheel. To close this, you turn it clockwise. You will feel the resistance build as the internal gate lowers into the path of the water. I always tell people to keep turning until it sits firm. But don't use a wrench to force it, or you might end up with a snap stem like I did. The second type, and the one I prefer, is a ball valve. This has a long, straight handle. When the handle is pointing in the same direction as the pipe, the water is screaming through. To shut it off, you simply pull that handle 90 degrees until it is perpendicular to the pipe. It creates a satisfying, solid stop that you can feel in your palm. Once you think you have found it, we need to test it to be sure. I want you to go to the highest sink in your house, maybe in the upstairs bathroom, and turn the cold water on full blast. Walk back down to your valve and shut it off firmly. The flow should dwindle to a trickle and then stop completely. If it keeps running, you either haven't closed the valve all the way, or you are looking at a secondary shutoff. This step is vital, because sometimes these old valves can get scaled up with minerals and they won't seep properly. If yours feels frozen or won't stop the flow, that is something we want to address now, not during a flood. While we are on the subject of water, we should talk about the smaller, localized shutoffs. These are the little chrome valves you see tucked under your toilets and sinks.
We call these isolation valves.
If your toilet starts overflowing, you don't need to kill the water to the whole house and leave everyone without a shower. You just reach behind the base of the porcelain and turn that little ribbed handle clockwise.
You will feel it get tighter as the rubber washer inside seats against the opening.
It is a good habit to reach down once every few months and just give those a tiny turn back and forth. It keeps the internal parts from seizing up, so they actually work when you need them.
Now, let's shift our focus to the gas line.
This is a different kind of responsibility because you can't see gas, though the utility companies add that sulfur smell specifically so your nose can act as an alarm.
If you ever smell that sharp, heavy scent, your first move isn't a tool.
It is getting everyone out and calling for help from a safe distance. But for maintenance or in a localized emergency, you need to know where the control lies.
Your main gas shutoff is almost always outside, right at the meter where the pipe comes out of the ground.
When you look at that meter, you will see a large pipe with a heavy rectangular lug on it. This is the main valve. Unlike the water valves, this one usually requires a tool.
I keep a dedicated 12-inch adjustable wrench near my back door for this exact reason.
The lug will have a hole in it, and when that hole is lined up with the pipe, the gas is on.
To shut it off, you place your wrench on that lug and give it a firm quarter turn until the lug is sitting crossways to the pipe. You will feel the metal-on-metal friction as it turns.
It takes a bit of muscle, because these are designed to stay put and not be bumped out of place by accident.
Inside the house, your gas-fed appliances like the furnace, the water heater, or the stove will have their own dedicated shutoff valves. These are almost always bright yellow or red handles. They work just like the ball valves we talked about earlier.
If the handle is in line with the flexible yellow or corrugated metal hose, the fuel is flowing. When you turn it so it crosses the line of the pipe, the flow stops.
I like to practice finding these by feel. Sometimes a water heater is tucked into a dark corner, and you might need to reach behind it without being able to see clearly.
You want your hand to know exactly what that lever feels like.
When you are working with these gas valves, you might hear a very faint hiss for a split second as you turn them.
That is normal. Just a tiny bit of pressure equalizing in the line.
What you are looking for is the solid stop of the handle.
If you are turning a valve for an appliance and it feels mushy or like it is spinning freely, that is a sign the internal stop is broken and it needs to be replaced.
A good valve should have a clear beginning and end to its movement.
There is a sense of empowerment that comes from this walkthrough. We move from the main lines down to the individual fixtures, tracing the path of the utilities like a map.
Once you have located the main water shutoff and the gas meter, I highly recommend getting a simple set of tags.
I use bright neon plastic ones that I loop around the handles with a zip tie.
I write main water and main gas in permanent marker.
You might know exactly where they are, but if you are away and a neighbor or a family member has to deal with a burst pipe, you want those valves to scream their location to someone who is in a hurry.
We should also talk about the specific resistance you feel in different types of plumbing.
If your home is older, you might have galvanized steel pipes.
These are gray and threaded together.
When you turn a valve on these systems, you might feel a bit of vibration in the pipe itself as the water stops.
That is just the pressure wave reflecting back.
In newer homes with PEX, which is that flexible blue and red plastic tubing, things feel a bit quieter and softer.
Regardless of the material, the goal is the same: a firm, deliberate closure.
I want to remind you that after you shut off a main valve, especially for water, the house still has memory in the lines.
Even with the main valve closed, there is still water sitting in the pipes.
If you are doing a repair, you have to drain that pressure by opening the lowest faucet in the house,
like a laundry tub or an outdoor spigot. You will hear a gurgle as air enters the system and the remaining water trickles out. Only then is the system truly empty and ready for you to work on it. The same logic applies when you are turning things back on. You never want to just slam a main water valve open. If you do, a wall of water will hit your fixtures with incredible force, which can cause what we call water hammer, that loud banging sound in the walls that can actually shake joints loose. Instead, I want you to crack the valve open just a tiny bit, maybe a quarter of the way. Listen to the hiss of the water refilling the pipes. Once the sound of the rushing water quietens down, then you can slowly open the valve the rest of the way. It is about being gentle with the system that takes care of you. For the gas, if you ever have to shut off the main at the meter, I strongly advise that you don't try to turn it back on yourself. In many areas, that is actually a job for the utility company or a licensed professional. This is because when the gas goes off, the pilot lights on older furnaces or water heaters will go out. When the gas comes back on, you don't want those appliances venting unburned fuel into your living space. Safety isn't just about stopping the flow. It is about the careful sequence of bringing the house back to life. Now that we have walked through these steps, I want you to take a moment and actually go do it. Don't just listen to me tell you about it. Go down to the basement or out to the curb. Put your hand on the water lever. Walk out to the gas meter and see if you have the right wrench. There is a specific kind of muscle memory that forms when you actually touch the metal and feel the weight of the lever. It moves the information from your head down into your hands. When you stand in front of those shutoff points, you are looking at the most important tools in your DIY kit. They aren't as flashy as a new drill or a polished hammer, but they are the ones that save your floors, your drywall, and your peace of mind. You are the steward of this space, and by taking these 20 minutes to map out the controls, you have moved from being a resident to being a guardian. You can hear the hum of the house now, and know that if that hum ever changes, you have the power to stop it, fix it, and start again. It is a good feeling, standing there in the quiet, knowing exactly how everything works. Whenever you are ready, we can move on to the next project. But for now, just take a breath and appreciate the fact that you are prepared. You have done the work that most people ignore, and that makes all the difference.